is a serious warning broadcast from Lou and Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly, the Divided Kingdom. Hear it and tell others to listen on WWCR 4.840 megahertz, Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern, Saturdays 8 a.m. Eastern on 7.490 megahertz. And also on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, 5 p.m. Mondays, repeating 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Yesterday, Wednesday, September 26, 2018, I heard three times within 2 hours a Maryland public radio station be interrupted by a federal emergency management emergency test. Interesting to me, one who looks for hidden patterns, symbolic meanings, even at times of propaganda inciting fear messages to the masses. Shortly afterward, Delmarva Public Radio played Schindler's List movie music. That was from the movie that depicted Hitler's roundup of Jews in the Holocaust and Oskar Schindler saving some of his workers. From the time of my own Patriots warning, the incident of intimidation of October 17, 2001, I have known that danger continues even when people are oblivious to it, including pastors and flocks of what our late friend and radio colleague Pastor Carl Sanders called the sleeping churches. I can still hear his booming, burlesque voice say, sleep on, church. The masses do not all yet understand the words 9/11 inside job. Neither do they understand the spiritual warnings of judgment laid out clearly in Jonathan Cahn's book, The Harbinger, the strike at Ground Zero coming very near the spot of St. Paul's Church, evoking the memory when we were a nation under Christ with new leader George Washington gathering his new administration to, first of all, go to church and pray. Ground Zero, where the sycamore tree was felled and later a new tree named America's Promise was planted but refused to thrive and died. The hubris of Isaiah 9:11, quoted over and over, first by Tom Daschle and then later by John Edwards. Yes, we will rebuild better than ever. You see, we do not need national repentance for murdering 60-plus million babies in abortion. Do you still hear anyone in your church or outside of it continuing to talk about David DeLeiden's video expose of the Planned Parenthood murder and parts for sale of aborted babies? No, all has gone quiet. Pastors refuse to talk in the pulpit or, heaven forbid, drive over to Planned Parenthood and try to stand up there reasoning with frantic, desperate people ready to kill their progeny. Most of the country, too, has gone into silent acceptance of the grave national sin of legalizing homosexual liaisons as marriage, interrupting this nice early fall of complacency in new TV sitcoms, tailgate picnics, and men's to die for TV football games. Comes now and then the stray thought of something that happened more than a year ago. The shooting of Steve Scalise at the Republican baseball practice. It seemed like a strange anomaly for America, didn't it? More like something that would happen in Russia or China. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great writer and symbol of man's survival within tyranny, having what endured what he did and that he wrote about in the Gulag Archipelago, discussed, looking back years later, how things might have been different had he and the other people about to be rounded up and deported, had they stood lying in wait with hatchets, with whatever weapons they could find at hand. It will be up to all of you whether you regard tonight's warnings and take preparatory action for your family as we bring you up to date on several key dangers, including chaos from the left and Islam. We entitle this program The Ides of Midterms. And now I have to get into the information that's so very important. And first of all, we have an article from Mike Adams, and then I will give an update on his analysis, really, of his article. This was August 27, 2018. This came from www.naturalnews.com. Revolutionary violence to, quote, take power. The Los Angeles chapter of the left-wing domestic terrorist group Antifa is calling for a sea of armed masses to take to the streets with weapons using, quote, revolutionary violence against the enemies of the people, end of quote, meaning conservatives, Trump supporters, and pretty much anyone else who supports traditional American values and the rule of law. And I must point out, listeners, this article is by Ethan Huff. According to the news outlet Far Left Watch, the group, known officially as Serve the People Los Angeles, and the acronym for that is STPLA, issued what amounts to a call for an American revolution during a recent demonstration in South Central Los Angeles. Now, I have to interrupt this article. I said this is a warning broadcast, and if you're half asleep thinking we've heard this from the patriot community for decades, I have to tell you that there is information that I heard yesterday from Leo Zagami. Visit his website, leozagami.com, and that information is that allegedly there was a meeting probably as late as last Saturday in this country with George Soros or his son, Alexander, and Barack Obama to begin planning. What do you think they would be planning? I have an idea, don't you? So I'm telling you, you need to put this country in the deepest prayer you can. Right now, I'm going to call on Lou Caverly to pray for the safety of our Constitution and our country and for Donald Trump and his administration and family. We're going to pray, and we need all of your hearts, all of your souls, stretching to the Lord in repentance. Whatever you have done, ask him first in this prayer as Lou prays, forgive me of my sins. Both not known sins, you know, sins of omission and sins of commission. Lou, will you pray?
Yes. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, we pray for our country and the country's leaders, the President, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, all the other officials of government, that you will give them wisdom and that you will protect them from violence and those people who would like to take down this country, to destroy the Republic, to destroy the freedom that this country has known and that you have blessed it with. We pray for protection. We pray for wisdom, that they may make decisions that are right in your eyes. And we pray that these people, like these that Elizabeth has talked about in Los Angeles, will be defeated. And the great mass of American people will see through these plots that they're trying to stir the people up with. Just bless this nation, Lord. And we pray that the nation can return to you and look upon you as that king. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, the most important phrase of all that Lou said, that we return, you see, to Jesus. It's so important. Let's get back to learn more about STPLA. There was a recent demonstration that Ethan Huff talks about in South Central Los Angeles. Dozens of protesters wearing red bandanas and carrying the group's flags, various banners, and pinata effigies of President Trump, quote, rallied the masses and caused chaos in the streets over the recent detaining of an illegal alien woman by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. Upset that Gladys Hernandez, a Hispanic woman who had previously entered the United States illegally, could be on the verge of being deported back to her home, STPLA decided that the only response is to advocate for total anarchy in one of the largest cities in the country, and one that just so happens to have a very high population of illegal aliens who don't belong in the country. As relayed by PJ Media from the extreme left, quote, incendiary news service, end of quote, agitators present at the rally were reportedly chanting in Spanish, La Migra, La Policia, La Misma, Percariaqueria, which translates in English as ICE, the police, the same SH, blank, blank. These rabble-rousers were also heard chanting other vulgarities, including F, ICE, F, the pigs, referring, of course, to our country's law enforcement officers. And We got some other information, too, that Barack Obama and probably the Soros group had planned martial law in 2015, and they wanted it to take off from the Baltimore riots. But you see, we have the Maryland State Troopers here, and boy, do Lou and I support them. Boy, do we believe in them. They were there. They were importantly there. You see, it didn't go into the riot. God was good. God watched over it to foil these evil plans, as Lou asked you in his prayer to pray with him that God will again do this. It's just so important, you see, that our foundation is Jesus Christ. We probably don't have time tonight, but Lou, WorldNet Daily, you might go to look for it, by William Federer, that great historian, and he was quoting George Washington about a lot of things, and boy, it seemed very relevant how if we lost the two pillars in our constitutional republic, one was morality and the other one was religion. And Washington said we were fools if we thought that the one could stand, and that was morality, without the other pillar, the religion. No, it can't. But Washington envisioned what would happen with these foreign entanglements and foreign preferences, how we would get all the lobbyists and all of the sellouts that we now see were practically owned by China. And that may not be a good thing at this time when we hear what happened to Miss Bing Bing, the star, the noted star from China. But now let's get back to STPLA, that their goal is to advocate for total anarchy, you see there in Los Angeles. And they're talking again in one of the largest cities in the country, which one that also happens to have a very high population of illegal aliens who don't belong in the country. And we also heard now about the ugly vulgarities chanted. Batten down the hatches, patriots, Ethan Huff says. It's not as though the conservative patriot community wants to engage such nonsense. In the past, law enforcement would have taken care of it, ordering these disturbers of the peace to either leave the area or face arrest and prosecution. But this no longer seems to be the case. Now, I interject again. It was the case here in Baltimore, Maryland. But you see, we're out there in leftist California. Things are a little different there. That is the blue state, not the red state area. There have been so many instances of Antifa violence since the election of Donald Trump as president, including the recent Patriot prayer meeting in Portland, Oregon, that good-hearted, hard-working American patriots no longer have the option to simply ignore it. While Natural News would never advocate for provoking violence against these anti-American thugs, there does come a point where a call to arms is necessary to combat its encroachment in defense of freedom and liberty. That moment hasn't yet materialized, but it seems to be on the doorstep. Our hope with all of this is that law enforcement will continue to do its job in nabbing illegal aliens while also keeping this insane Antifa rhetoric at just that. Rhetoric. There's no place in civil American society for Antifa violence of any kind, especially when it threatens the safety of law-abiding Americans who aren't at all interested in having our nation's borders scrapped simply to appease the treasonous demands of the far left. This is why we have the Second Amendment, of course, to take matters into our own hands if need be, in order to maintain the peace, defend the innocent, and protect against enemies, both foreign and domestic, who would try to unravel the very foundations of our country in the name of tolerance and equality. This is our right as Americans, after all. And now, I think that God does a lot of things that are not coincidental. You know, Alex Jones, whatever his flaws are, and I certainly didn't like him the other day when he talked about this figure who liked Trump, and she was a beautiful woman, and she was kept from being on stage, I think, by the radical left. But Alex sang, "Happy birthday, Mr. President. Oh, I love it." That evoked the terrible image, the tawdry image of the Kennedy brothers and Marilyn Monroe And poor Marilyn Monroe, was she murdered? I really thought that was way out of line. But you see, I tuned in the next day, and there was Alex Jones at his most magnificent. He really was. But he had some other magnificent people, and guess who he had? After I already had this article that I've just read to you from Natural News, why, there was Mike Adams from Natural News. It was just amazing. I don't for one minute think that was a coincidence. God wanted me to hear that particular interview. That was September 24th. And Mike Adams said there will come a time when the left becomes totally violent, and there is a potential martial law response. Mike said they want total chaos. I believe they have your address and will come and kill you if you're a patriot. I hope you heard that. I did not say that. Mike Adams said that. Mike says he did independent research, and it dovetails with all of Alex Jones's. We know that Alex Jones is under a terrific attack. They're taking him away from PayPal, but he's telling the truth. We know this, or he wouldn't be reviled just the way Trump is reviled. Mike says that the Kavanaugh situation is not really so much about Wade versus Roe, but it's about staving off this chaos, giving Trump some support. And Mike himself said, I'm not afraid. I'm here to defend freedom. And that's the attitude that we should all have, because it's our country. It's your children and your grandchildren's country. And they mentioned something else about Obama, because you may have wondered why he was having this meeting with the Soros family member. And, you know, we always heard that he lived in this gated community after his service as POTUS, and we wondered why he had this gated compound, I mean, like a military compound, practically. Well, they mentioned he has a stay-behind network. We've known that a lot of government workers are still leftovers from Obama. Rosenstein first said that he resigned, then he recanted, and they think this was an attempt to blame Trump as if he fired him. And there is a chance that Trump can plan mass military arrests and tribunals, says Alex Jones. And there's this rogue group trying to overthrow America. And Mike says it's clear we're all under digital martial law. All the Trump supporters have been taken off these social platforms. And Mike says Obama is still giving orders, he thinks, to the social media to deplatform conservatives. And Mike went on to say that James O'Keefe has just confirmed the deep state system in a lot of ways, and the blocking outlines the exact crimes of Hillary Clinton and Obama. And this was talked about in Executive Order 1318. But you see, this thing talked about corruption relating to natural resources. Why, what was that all blocked out, redacted? That was Uranium One. Yes, we remember how Obama flew in the cash to Iran. Mike believes there is a possibility. You see, if we all rally and we all pray that eventually some of these people will be named and arrested, including Obama. Mike said they tried to carry out a coup and got caught. He said the left will go full chaos as soon as the arrests begin on Antifa. Law enforcement, excuse me for just a second, law enforcement, including oath keepers, etc., are there to support Trump. Obama's set of orders were to hand power to Clinton. And you see, then the martial law provision would come in for Hillary to begin the martial law. But God, thankfully, averted this. Trump has this power that Obama set up. The big cartels are trying to shut down even PayPal. You see, they do not want this news to get out. They definitely do not. And so even though Alex Jones is somewhat crippled, he is getting more and more radio stations all the time. And he's telling us the truth about the mark of the beast, global social score, and that's coming out of China. You see these big outfits, these social media outfits like Facebook and Google. Google really started, I think, by DARPA within the government, probably the deep state. They are going to get this thing kind of standardized, so you and I will come under it. If we're conservatives, we're not going to be able to get jobs. We're not going to be able to have the privileges that the leftists, the Antifa people will have. So these are some of the things that Mike and Alex talked about on September 24th. And Mike said, it reminds me of the Revolutionary War, a ragtag band fighting the largest army in the world. And it's like the motto of the Navy SEAL, friends never, ever surrender. These globalists don't believe in God. They have no souls, no spirit. We are about the transparency and truth and what our forefathers fought for. And so, you see, this is something that is like a big movement, and it's now coming to a head. The Patriots versus the One Worlders. And in the background of all of this, the Democrats have admitted they want the 25th Amendment. Mike believes it is Trump's duty to excise this cancer of the deep state. He says that Comey and Brennan have communist backgrounds and that we are under siege. And he says, I can't be meek like those rhinos. Alex said Obama is in the middle of a third term. He is having meetings with Hillary as the, you see, the time goes on. And so a lot of this is just so important. And Mike said that Trump is dedicated to the Constitution. Every institution in America is against him. The media, the universities, etc. Mike thinks the sophistication of Alex's info network freaked out the NWO with his more than 400 radio stations. You know you can hear him on WWCR. You hear him on Saturday mornings, too, after our program at 8 a.m. on 7490. Mike says if anything happened to Alex's network, if anything big happened, Alex's network could replace all the CNNs in the world, practically. He said to Alex, you are the leader of the conservative media, and they think you and I can be intimidated. And Alex said, thank God he gave us Trump. If he does the right thing, we will come through okay. Now, there were other things documented, too. Matt Bracken, the former Navy SEAL, and Jack Posobiec. Some news from their corner was that the government is inside Antifa, and some members, you see these leftist members, pushed people at Charlottesville. So there's a lot of infiltration. We know that very, very much. And Matt Bracken said that if the Republicans hold the midterms and Kavanaugh gets in, he thinks the left will go ballistic. They will not try to work in the system anymore. It'll then be baseball practice everywhere. I hope you heard this statement. It is a warning. It's not a prediction, because we made a prayer to God Almighty. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. That's the motto of Southwest Radio Church Ministry. I love to hear Pastor Noah Hutchings, our dear old friend who went to heaven, I believe, in 2015, March of that year. Boy, we miss him, but we know he's praying for America. He was a real patriot. He fought in World War II. Lou, you remember when you interviewed him. Was he like in communications, radio communication?
If I remember rightly, he was in the field of radar.
Oh, radar.
I think so.
In the South Pacific, wasn't he?
I think so, yes.
Yes. So we know we have the cloud of witnesses pulling for us. Now, Matt Bracken said that if the Democrats win, he thinks then there'll be more hate crimes starting and so forth, you know, labeling all of us and all of that. And there is some interest that perhaps there's a new conservative kind of YouTube hookup coming. Now, as another part of all this, we have the Vatican part. Leo Zagami came on Alex Jones on September 26th. And he had the interesting news that a U.S. priest burned a rainbow flag. And it also had the Roman Catholic symbols on it. And there was an attempted but failed exorcism on it. He was removed. The Vatican has removed him as a priest. Sagami said a shadow government meeting between Obama and Soros occurred recently. So this is our source for this hot tip that one of the Soroses, at least, was in the U.S. meeting probably last Saturday with Obama. And Sagami also corroborated that these leftist forces are allied with China. And he wondered why, remember, he's in Italy, he wondered why George Soros should have been allowed to come to America to plan its overthrow. You know, we remember that Michael Savage, the radio commentator, is not allowed to go into Britain. But we allow George Soros to come here. Isn't this strange? Alex said we have 41 days till the midterms. And so, apparently, according to their info, Alexander Soros, the son, is taking over the realm for an aging Soros. And Alex again said they want the 25th Amendment. They want to take Trump out. And these leaked documents that came into InfoWars that Obama had planned martial law, I believe in 2015, and Antifa was to help bring it in with the unrest in Baltimore, you see, as the trigger, and with the Soros connection. Pretty important stuff. And then on September 25th, we heard clips of three people, three speakers, President Trump at the UN discussing the unprecedented turnarounds of his administration and that he's done in just 2 years. And I guess he was laughed at by the UN, just as Nigel Farage was. But he had the last laugh with the success of Brexit. Then Michelle Obama was advising people who know nothing to vote anyway. She said, quote, I've been voting since I was 19. Then I didn't know nothing about nothing. You surely didn't. You didn't even have a ninth grader's basic grammar knowledge. A double negative is a no-no. But you hooked on to the commie Frank Marshall Davis, CIA son, and now you can rake in millions with your new book, Becoming. Becoming what? The third speaker, your husband, the ex-POTUS, said some silly, inane celebrity apprentice put down that got so badly jammed on shortwave as to be inaudible anyway. Will speaker number one, President Donald Trump's celebration of freedom in the U.S., be the one of these three speeches to endure, to prevail? I said, keep your powder dry, and I believe that my ancestors would have said this, those borders.
Yes, Elizabeth, your ancestors, William and Daniel Border, Daniel being the genius architect of the famed Pennsylvania rifle, known as the Border Gun. Daniel, admired by Samuel Colt when he visited Colt's factory, these would agree that America must have men vigilant so that we cannot fall into the frightening tyranny of one political party state like China. From Time, October 1st, it reports the highly troubling story behind the puzzle of China's missing star. It should have been the week's big China story. After all, the new tariffs President Donald Trump slapped on $200 billion of Chinese imports marked a drastic escalation of a trade war between the world's two biggest economies. And Beijing may well have wanted its retaliatory tariffs of $60 billion on U.S. goods to top the news agenda. But in China, there was a more burning topic. Where on earth is Fan Bingbing? Fan, 37, is China's best-known actress and the nation's highest-paid celebrity for 4 years running, earning a reported $43 million last year. She was featured in Time's list of the 100 most influential people in 2017 and has also broken into Hollywood, starring in X-Men, Days of Future Past, and also Iron Man 3. She was soon to begin filming a spy thriller with Penelope Cruz. But since June, China's biggest star has not been seen in public. Some speculate that Fan is in hiding, but most agree her disappearance seems tied to leaks on Chinese social media in late May of Yin Yang, and that's in quotes, Yin Yang Contracts, under her name, in which one contract is disclosed for tax purposes and a larger one discreetly paid to the star. According to the leak, Fan declared $1.5 million for work on the sequel to a 2003 movie, Cell Phone, but actually she pocketed $7.5 million. A spokesperson for Fan denied tax evasion to Chinese media in May, but the leak prompted Beijing to launch a broad probe into the entertainment industry's tax practices. Chinese authorities have since said that no actor is allowed to earn more than 70% of the total salary for the entire cast, or 40% of the production costs. On September 6th, the state news outlet reported that Fan had, quote, been brought under control, unquote, and she was, quote, about to receive legal judgment, unquote. But the article was quickly erased. The government has refused to comment on her whereabouts. It's unclear whether she has been charged with a crime. The mystery highlights the opacity of Chinese justice. The use of so-called black jails has been ramped up across China since President Xi Jinping came into power in 2013. In August, a UN human rights panel said it had credible reports that 1 million members of the mostly Muslim Uyghur ethnic minority are being held in secret camps for, quote-unquote, re-education. Meanwhile, national and local security officials are now able to detain suspects in undisclosed locations for up to 6 months.
I must interrupt, Blue, because we're seeing an analogy here. Of course, we're not full-fledged communist China yet, but we have to remember that though Newsweek and other MSM publications prematurely printed Hillary Clinton as the presidential winner, God was so good and merciful helping us, but we do know that we were spared being rounded up for what she had openly called re-education centers. We were promised this, and we have to realize that the chief liar of our time, the architect of Benghazi's American slaughter, there of the ambassador and others who died, and she was the co-facilitator with her policy with Barack Obama and the building of ISIS. Clinton, you see, in her prevaricating new book, What Happened, she says of Trump's first 2 years, I hope that my fears for our future were overblown. They were not. Now, we recall that creepy clip of her after they engineered the takedown of Gaddafi and then things really went haywire in Libya. It was like a poor Pig Latin kind of thing. Vini, vini, vidi, vici. You know, I came, I saw, I conquered. She said something like, we came, we conquered, and we won. And then an insane laughter. Is this what we really want when midterms come? This is like a great warning, this article about Fan Bing Bing. It's really scary, and we'd better wake up and realize we're two steps from such tyranny. Continue, Lou.
Rather than detention and arrest, China is making systematic use of disappearances, says Peter Dahlin, a Swedish human rights lawyer interrogated for 23 days at a black jail in Beijing in 2016. And these are his words. The world has never known the number of disappearances that we see today in China, unquote. Well, black jails are not typically discussed by China's tightly controlled media. But the disappearance of Fan, who has more than 62 million followers on social media site Weibo, W-E-I-B-O, has brought national attention to the topic. Many presume Fan is guilty of some crime. Aware that rampant graft threatened the legitimacy of the Communist Party, then-Party Chairman Xi launched an anti-corruption campaign in 2012 to target both tigers and flies, that's in quote, tigers and flies, in other words, high and low officials. China's anti-corruption watchdog says 1.34 million officials have been punished.
And you know, Lou, that's a step above deplorables, isn't it?
Yes,
tigers
it is.
Tigers and flies.
Yep, that's their version. But China's anti-corruption watchdog says 1.34 million officials have been punished as of October 2017. Others detect a moral element in this mystery. While the Chinese Communist Party has backed the rapid development of domestic media, it is now clamping down on flourishing popular culture and behavior not aligned with the party's ideology and socialist values. Fan was a frequent target of criticism, scoring 0% in a recent state-backed social responsibility ranking of celebrities. It's unclear whether Fan was caught in Beijing's moral dragnet, but resurgent Puritanism is certainly causing trouble across the entertainment industry. Tech giant Tencent, maker of China's ubiquitous WeChat messaging app, has plummeted $150 billion in value since January after the government stopped approving new gaming apps. Other film, TV, and online content producers have also been left confused as projects have gotten blocked. Obscure rules about morality combined with a new tax code, nixing long-standing exemptions and incentives and backdated to January, has left the movie industry, quote, very angry, unquote, says Wang Donghui, a producer in China since 2010. He went on to say, quote, there's a lot of smoke. People don't understand what the film bureau or tax departments really mean, unquote. Excuse me. Bankrolling movie productions has also become a way of China's super rich to get their money out of the country, paying foreign talent more on paper than in reality, and depositing the difference in overseas banks. Industry insiders say big budget flops keep getting green-lighted because their true purpose is simply moving cash overseas. Indeed, capital flight is a growing threat to the economy. China's foreign exchange reserves dropped $36.6 billion from January to April. Whatever the true cause of her disappearance, Fan appears to be the highest profile victim of Beijing's attempt to purify what it sees as a runaway corruption industry. Quote, women today are very powerful, Fan says in one of her last known appearances, an advertisement for De Beers Diamonds. Quote, they take control of their work and careers, unquote. But in China today, true control belongs to the state alone. And I will add, as Luke Haverly, it is good that Google and Facebook are transferring their power to China via the social media apparatus, global monitoring, and persecution in embryo. And we also have this little snippet here. We also need to pray for the safety and return to public life of Fan Bingbing. Time magazine pictures of Fan show her in Paris last year. She is an exquisitely beautiful Oriental woman with penetrating, lovely dark eyes and flawless skin. She looks like a porcelain doll. She should be China's national treasure, the way America loves actresses Jennifer Garner and Sandra Bullock. Is China darkening the lights of freedom so it becomes no different than the gulag of Solzhenitsyn's day?
That's a very good question, Lou. And I think we'll upset our agenda a little bit by moving then back to some of the hidden darkness here in this country. Fitting the puzzle pieces together as they go after Trump. And this came from Pastor Dale Henkel's organization. And in case you have not been able to keep up as this story continues to unfold, this is a short summary. It's an amazing web of conspiracy wrapped in deceit that has cost the U.S. taxpayers billions, and it has continued. From 2001 to 2005, there was an ongoing investigation into the Clinton Foundation. A grand jury had been impaneled. Governments from around the world had donated to the, quote, charity. Yet from 2001 to 2003, none of those, quote, donations to the Clinton Foundation were declared. Now, you would think that an honest investigator would be able to figure this out. Guess who took over this investigation in 2002? Bet you can't guess. None other than James Comey. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Guess who was transferred in to the Internal Revenue Service to run the tax exemption branch of the IRS? Your friend and mine, Lois, be on the lookout, Bolo Lerner. Now that's interesting, isn't it? It gets better. Well, not really, but this is all just a series of strange coincidences, right? Guess who ran the tax division inside the Department of Injustice from 2001 to 2005? None other than the current Assistant Attorney General of the United States, Rod Rosenstein. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Guess who was the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation during this time frame? I know. It's a miracle. Just a coincidence. Just an anomaly in statistics and chances. But it was Robert Mueller. What do all four casting characters have in common? They all were briefed and or were frontline investigators into the Clinton Foundation investigation. Now, that's just a coincidence, right? Okay, let's chalk the last one up to mere chance. Let's fast forward to 2009. James Comey leaves the Justice Department. And what happens there, Lou?
All right. I have to shuffle my papers a little bit here.
And now we're in the flop, fitting the puzzle pieces together. And
yes.
Now, James Comey.
In case you have not been able to keep up, the story continues to unfold. Here's a short summary.
No, I have done that part. We're down.
I'm sorry. I have to skip down.
We're way
that's
down
right.
To James Comey.
Now, let's fast forward to 2009. James Comey leaves the Justice Department to go and cash in at Lockheed Martin. Hillary Clinton is running the State Department on her own personal email server, by the way. The Uranium One, quote-unquote, issue comes to the attention of the...
Of Hillary. You know, I have to point out that Lou is working under a handicap tonight. He's sick, and he's still trying to breathe, get his breath, and do this work after working all day. You know, you do appreciate that we have pledged our honor, our name, and our money, and our debts are part of that. So you see, we really believe in what we're doing. And if you'd like to write to us or help us, you can write to us at Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Checks can be made out not to us, but to WWCR. So now, we've just to recap, James Comey has left the Justice Department to cash in that you see at the revolving door. Everybody leaves politics. They get big pork belly jobs. Lockheed Martin. Now, what about Hillary?
Yes, the Uranium One issue comes to the attention of Hillary. Like all good public servants do, you know, looking out for America's best interest, she decides to support the decision and approve the sale of 20%. That's one-fifth of U.S. uranium to no other than the Russians.
And again, I failed to recap that she's now the head of the State Department.
That's right.
Wow.
Now, you would think that this is a fairly straight-up deal, except it wasn't. The people got absolutely nothing out of it. However, prior to the sales approval, no other than Bill Clinton goes to Moscow, gets paid $500,000 for a one-hour speech, then meets with Vladimir Putin at his home for a few hours. Okay, no big deal, right? Well, not so fast. The FBI hit a mole inside the money laundering and bribery scheme at the Clinton Foundation. Guess who was the FBI director during this time frame? Yep, Robert Mueller. He even delivered a uranium sample to Moscow in 2009. Guess who was handling that case when the Justice Department out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Maryland, or within the Justice Department, out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Maryland, none other than Rod Rosenstein. Guess what happened to the informant? The Department of Justice placed a gag order on him and threatened to lock him up if he spoke out about it. How does 20% of the most strategic asset of the United States of America end up in Russian hands when the FBI has an informant, a mole providing inside information to the FBI and criminal enterprise? Guess what happened soon after the sale was approved? $145 million in, quote, donations, unquote, made their way into the Clinton Foundation from entities directly connected to the Uranium One deal. Guess who was still at the Internal Revenue Service working the charitable division? None other than Lois Lerner. Okay, that's all just another series of coincidences. Nothing to see here, right?
Let's fast forward to 2015. Due to a series of tragic events in Benghazi, and after the nine investigations, quote, investigations, the House, Senate, and at the State Department, Trey Gowdy, who is running the 10th investigation, as chairman of the Select Committee on Benghazi, discovers that Hillary ran the State Department on an unclassified, unauthorized, outlaw personal email server. He also discovered that none of those emails had been turned over when she departed her, quote, public service as Secretary of State, which was required by law. He also discovered that there was top secret information contained within her personally archived email. Sparing you the State Department's cover-up, the nostrums they floated, the delay tactics that were employed, and the outright lies that were spewed forth from the necks of the John Kerry State Department, we shall leave it with this. They did everything humanly possible to cover for Hillary. Now, this is amazing. Guess who became FBI director in 2013? Guess who secured 17 no-bid contracts for his employer, Lockheed Martin, with the State Department and was rewarded with a $6 million thank you present when he departed his employer? None other than James Comey. Amazing how all those no-bids just went right through at State, huh? Now he is the FBI director in charge of the Clinton email investigation. After, of course, his FBI investigates the Lois Lerner matter at the IRS and exonerates her. Nope, couldn't find any crimes there. Can you guess what happened next? In April 2016, James Comey drafts an exoneration letter of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Meanwhile, the DOJ is handing out immunity deals like candy. They didn't even convene a grand jury. Like a lightning bolt of statistical impossibility, like a miracle from God himself, like the true gangsta horny homie he is, James steps out into the cameras of an awaiting press conference on July the 8th of 2016 and exonerates the Hillary from any wrongdoing. Can you see the pattern? It goes on and on. Rosenstein becomes assistant attorney general. Comey gets fired based upon a letter by Rosenstein. Comey leaks government information to the press. Mueller is assigned to the Russian investigation sham by Rosenstein to provide cover for decades of malfeasance within the FBI and DOJ. And the story continues.
Pfizer abuse, political espionage, bigger crime, any crime. Chances are this group and a few others did it. All the same players, all compromised and conflicted, all working fervently to not go to jail themselves, all connected in one way or another to the Clintons. They are like battery acid. They corrode and corrupt everything they touch. How many lives have these two destroyed? As of this writing, the Clinton Foundation, in its 20-plus years of operation of being the largest international charity fraud in the history of mankind, has never been audited by the Internal Revenue Service, not even once. Let us not forget that Comey's brother works for DLA Piper, the law firm that does the Clinton Foundation's taxes. And see the person that is is the common denominator to all the crimes above, and yet still doing her evil escape legal maneuvers at the top of the three letters USA agencies. Yep, that would be Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Who is Lisa Barsoomian? Let's learn a little about Mrs. Lisa H. Barsoomian's background. Lisa H. Barsoomian, a U.S. attorney who graduated from Georgetown Law, is a protege of James Comey and Robert Mueller. Barsoomian, with her boss R. Craig Lawrence, represented Bill Clinton in 1998. Lawrence also represented Robert Mueller 3 times, James Comey 5 times, Barack Obama 45 times, Kathleen Sebelius 56 times, Bill Clinton 40 times, and Hillary Clinton 17 times. Between 1998 and 2017, Barsoomian herself represented the FBI at least 5 times. You may be saying to yourself, okay, who cares? Who cares about the work history of this Barsoomian woman? Apparently someone does. because someone out there cares so much that they've purged all Barsoomian court documents for her Clinton representation in Homburg versus Clinton in 1998 and its appeal in 1999 from the D.C. District and Appeals Court dockets. Someone out there cares so much that the Internet has been purged of all information pertaining to Barsoomian. Historically, this indicates that the individual is a protected CIA operative. Additionally, Lisa Barsoomian has specialized in opposing Freedom of Information Act requests on behalf of the intelligence community. And although Barsoomian has been involved in hundreds of cases representing the D.C. Office of the U.S. Attorney, her email address is lisabarsoomian@nih.gov. The NIH stands for National Institutes of Health. This is a tactic routinely used by the CIA to protect an operative by using another government organization to shield their activities. It's a cover. So big deal, right? I mean, what does one more attorney with ties to the U.S. intelligence community really matter? It deals with Trump and his recent tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum imports, the border wall, DACA, everything coming out of California, the uniparty unrelenting opposition to President Trump, the Clapper leaks, the Comey leaks, Attorney General Jeff Sessions' recusal and subsequent 14-month nap with occasional forays into the marijuana legalization mix, and last but not least, Mueller's never-ending investigation into collusion between the Trump team and the Russians. Why does Barsoomian, CIA operative, merit any mention? Because she is Assistant Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's wife. That's why. That was a big one, wasn't it, Lou?
That was a very,
that was a real big one.
Yes.
And we don't know how much time we'll have to get in to some emerging Trump figures worldwide. First, we had a little quote from Boris Johnson, and he was the former British Foreign Secretary lamenting the UK Prime Minister Theresa May's leadership in a September 9th column. Quote, "We have wrapped a suicide vest around the British Constitution." And then we have two other figures. We have Viktor Orban, that brave advocate of Christian civilization and nationalism in Hungary. And they have a new person coming up, the most feared man in Europe, and this is Matteo Salvini, Italy's hardline interior minister. And he wants to even remake the EU for nationalists. He has taken pages from Donald Trump's populist playbook. So I'm not sure how much we're going to get into this, but I think, Lou, you have a few things about the sharks. And, you know, we saw these sharks coming. Tell us about this, about Bree Keaton.
Yes, that's right.
I think you have a few quotes there.
I believe I do. Here.
These are a few little sound bites that are also important. Let's find those sound bites.
Just one of the good things any rational human being would praise success for, maybe not the laughing hyenas of the UN, is in time, October 1st news ticker. And that is Kim makes nuclear offer with caveats. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has agreed to shut down a major missile test site in the presence of international experts. South Korea's Moon Jae-in announced September 19th after a two-day summit in Pyongyang. He said Kim would also close its main nuclear complex if the U.S. agrees to reciprocal measures.
And this is so important. Trump is nothing if not presidential. We need a president at this time. And we know that there are some people in the Pentagon who love America. According to Alex Jones, some of them said, "Son, we hate to tell you how rich George Soros is. Many, many, many billions, I guess. But we do need someone who has made the progress that Trump has. And we need to keep this issue in constant prayer." What else, Lou?
Well, the second news ticker item makes us recall Alex Jones's comment when discussing the artificial intelligence transhumanism scary agenda that aims to imprison and destroy humankind. Jones claimed that Elon Musk disavowed this, quote.
He disavowed their agenda is what he disavowed, yes.
Yes, thus he was coming under attack from his rabid transhumanism peers and government. News ticker says, Feds probe Tesla after Musk tweets. The Department of Justice launched a probe into electric car firm Tesla after founder Elon Musk tweeted in August that he would take the company private before reversing his decision. The investigation will examine whether the company intentionally misled investors.
Now, isn't that big, Lou, compared to the article that we read, how extensively these other figures got away with selling out 20% of all U.S. uranium? My goodness, they ought to just take Elon Musk over their lap and just paddle the daylights out of him, I guess.
Give him a little spanking. Yes,
yeah, right.
Get a few investors.
Right.
What a terrible thing to do.
Right.
And then we had still another one. You may recall, listeners, when Elizabeth recalled Bree Keaton's writing in one of her books about seeing a proliferation of sharks near U.S. shores at the time of 9/11. To her, these were symbols warning of God's impending judgment on America. Now the sharks are back. Time writer Craig Nugent says, it was around noon when the shark struck. Arthur Medici, a 26-year-old from Brazil, was attacked on September 16th while boogie boarding just off Cape Cod's Newcomb Hollow Beach. Although our friend dragged him from the water, he soon succumbed to his injuries in the first fatal shark attack in Massachusetts since 1936. And I'll just interject. When was that? Why, that was 82 years ago. Coming just weeks after a 61-year-old was hospitalized following a bite a few miles up the beach, the death unnerved a region unaccustomed to the presence of these storied predators. The first American shark panic began in the hot summer of 1916, when a spate of attacks off the New Jersey shore killed four in 2 weeks. This was thought to be the work of a single great white shark, a species indigenous to the Atlantic coast, and the same likely involved in recent attacks in an era when little was known about beasts in the deep.
And Lou, wasn't that just prior to the beginning of World War I? Again,
yes.
We look at this possible judgment scenario. Pick it up.
Yes, in an era when little was known about beasts in the deep, the deaths were big news. One paper warned that facing a scarcity of fish, the shark had, quote, probably acquired a taste for human flesh, unquote. We now know the Jersey Shore shark, which helped inspire the fictional fish in Jaws, was probably just confused after straying from its home in deeper waters, says Gavin Naylor, director of the Florida Museum's Program for Shark Research. Quote, if sharks were actively hunting people, we'd see far more attacks. And he went on to say, for time, quote, when sharks attack humans, it's always a case of mistaken identity, unquote. Instead, great whites are usually looking for seals, which helps explain the Cape Cod attacks. The East Coast is feeling the effects of the 1972 Marine Mammal Protection Act, which has boosted the number of seals to unusually high levels. As the seals venture closer to the shore, so do the sharks, says Naylor.
And, man sometimes interferes with God's nature in ways that really aren't helpful. So we get a backlash. If you have gotten a lot of concerns out of this program, then we've done our job as watchmen. Because if we don't warn you, the blood will be on our hands. Pray for America to repent. Good night.